Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
Blessings, and I think God is moving and ministering in our midst in some awesome ways. I know that over the past few weeks, God has been stirring some things in my heart, causing me to evaluate myself, look a little deeper into my heart, see if there's anything interfering with my relationship to the Lord. Does anybody else do that? I don't know. You do that also? Yeah. I think that's the thing that God does. To keep us encouraged, because I think we as people, as human beings, I guess is a better statement, we as human beings have a tendency to tend toward the ways of least resistance. Do you know what I'm talking about? And so sometimes we'll get a little lazy, we'll get a little less focused, we'll get a little sidetracked. And that's what we've been trying to focus on the past few weeks, message-wise, is to encourage us to renew our vision, renew our focus. Don't sit on the sidelines, but get involved in some form of ministry and effort to get the gospel out to as many people as we can. And also to encourage fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Hey, I don't know about you, but it's pretty nice for somebody to come up and say, man, I appreciate your walk with Christ. You really are a blessing to me. Now, I know when you hear that, you're thinking to yourself of all the failures and all the stumbles and all the mistakes you made. But really what you need to realize is that even in the midst of all those things that you think are big failures in your life, God is still using you. Because God is still flowing through you and still ministering to you. And let me give you a shocking bit of news. You ain't perfect yet. But God is working on you. Amen? And that's what's happening in your life in a lot of respects. And so it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing that God is doing. We may not always feel good about it, but when has feelings ever been the thing that guided us and led us? If it is, we probably need to reevaluate what our relationship is to the Lord, because the Lord doesn't move by feelings. He moves by faith. Amen? And so you can override feelings by faith, and you can override situations or problems or issues by your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He never, ever fails us in any way whatsoever. Amen? I think somebody ought to say hallelujah for that truth. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to turn to a little book in the Old Testament, which really is a very fantastic book. If you are one of those people that likes to study about the end time, raise your hand if you'd like to know about all the eschatology and the end time stuff You like to know what's going to happen in the future, what's going to happen in the church, what's going to happen to us. This little book, believe it or not, is a fantastic, concise book. It's not real long. It's a little more than one or two chapters. I realize that, so that could stumble a few of you. But if you read through that entire book, you'll discover the book is Zechariah, and I'd like you to turn there in your Old Testament. And it's a concise, overview, prophetically, of the first coming of Jesus Christ, how the evidence and the signs of His coming. There's some very specific prophecies as to who Jesus would be and how to find out who He was and those kinds of things for the first coming of Jesus. Very important for the people living during the time of Christ. Amen? Even more important for you and I, because if these things came to pass, if these prophecies were fulfilled, that means that God must have been involved in this little prophet's life, don't you think? And the second thing is, if God fulfilled all these prophecies concerning Jesus' first coming, and in the same prophecy talks about His second coming, how much more should we have confidence in the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? He fulfilled all these other prophecies. We know that for a fact. He gets so specific. He even talks about 30 pieces of silver. He even talks about Jesus riding into Jerusalem on an ass and the colt of an ass. He gets that specific, born of a virgin. That's how specific Zechariah's prophecies are, and if God, to that letter, fulfilled those things, how much more that should encourage us as Christians today to know that Jesus is coming again.
Amen.
And when he comes, those who are ready and prepared for him, which I think that's what he's doing in your life, keeping you prepared, keeping you ready. In fact, the title of this message today is The Visitation of God. And I think that we want to emphasize that because I'm really confident that God is doing something in our midst, and we may not always realize what it is, but I'm confident that the full purpose of God is to prepare us for the visitation of the Lord in our lives. Amen? Do you agree with that? And so often as Christians, we get caught up in what's happening in our life, get caught up in what's happening in the world. Zechariah is a good little book. I'm only going to read one verse out of it. You need to read the whole book for yourself. I'm going to read one verse out of it that kind of capsulizes where I want to go this morning with the word. And I think the Lord is impressing me to do this. I want to read that verse in just a second, but I want you to get a full understanding of what I think the Lord is doing right now. Not back in Zechariah's time, by the way, about 500 or 600 years before Christ. But what Jesus Christ is doing in your life today. He has not only been working and ministering through his Holy Spirit to touch your life and keep you alive in Christ and keep you walking and loving God and all those things. And let's be real. Can we be real? I'll be honest with you if you'll be honest with me. You don't have to raise your hand, but I'll raise mine. I need God to work on me. Yeah. I need God to encourage me. I need God to inspire me. I need the Lord to continue to remind me my obligation, my responsibility, but also the blessing and the privilege it is to be one of his children. Amen?
Yeah.
So I just fess up to that. I need God to touch me. I need him to visit me. I need to be able to reach out, touch the hem of his garment, make contact with him. Every day I need God. I need to contact him, and I need to get in touch with the Lord every single day. And so by admitting that, I hope I'm helping you kind of open your life a little bit more and realize that God is not the threat in your life. I know God has a great demand. He wants us all to be holy. He wants us to be pure. He wants us to be righteous. He wants us to walk in uprightly before him so that the great blessings that are contingent upon your faithfulness will flow freely to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, going to heaven is not what I'm talking about. If you're born again, you're on your way. You do have to keep that relationship alive if you want to have the benefits of being a Christian. You can't just say yes to God and then expect all the benefits and not do anything in return like be faithful. And so we oftentimes lose out on some of the blessings that the Lord has prepared for us because of our own stubbornness, our own rebellion, our own sidetracking, or whatever. And so I want us to kind of think in terms of this. It's not about salvation that I'm talking about. Well, ultimately, it will be. Ultimately, what I'm talking about this morning will ultimately culminate in the return of Jesus Christ. Now, I know we've got lots of plans and ideas. Our young people have just got all kinds of things they want to do with their life. You old folks, you still got a few plans. Every once in a while you get kicked by the Lord and he inspires you to do a little more than sit around and watch TV, right? Amen. Amen, Brother Mark. Anyway, so my point is, we have all kinds of things that we want to do with our lives. We've got plans set before us that unfortunately, we sometimes do it the wrong way. If you seek the Lord, he will open doors for you, and he will make a way for you. If you never enter in, if you never walk in those ways, well, that's your problem. He opened the door, whatever, for you. A lot of times we make plans, and then we ask God to get on board with us. It should be the other way around. We should get a hold of God and let God lead us and present our plans to him. And it may be very well what God wants to do in our lives, and maybe a stepping stone to where he wants to take us. And Zechariah is a cool little book. And I think I want to talk a little more about visitation. But let me read this scripture for you in the second chapter of the book of Zechariah. You know, you'd think with ears this big, this thing would not slip off. But apparently it does. Zechariah, the second chapter, and the 10th verse reads like this. It is a rejoicing verse. It is a verse that calls everyone under the sound of this prophecy to begin to respond to God in an awesome way. It says, sing, and I think we've done this morning, sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. Let me read that again. I want this to say, just close your eyes for a second, let me read this again, and just let it soak into your spirit for a moment. Will you do that? And he says, sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, I dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. I want you to understand something. We don't come to this house on Sunday mornings, although I love our music, I love all the talent that God has placed in this church. We come to present ourselves to the Lord and anticipate Him presenting Himself to us, coming into the midst, dwelling with us, ministering literally to us. Am I making any sense to you? And so, with that in mind, I think what God has been doing in our lives recently in such a wonderful way is really beginning to work deeper in our hearts to prepare us for the kind of visitation He wants to have with us. And that visitation refers to a lot of things, but let me give you a little background of this. This will also illuminate some of the things I think that God is doing in our midst to prepare us for His visitation. Since we tend to not always go in the direction the Lord wants us to go, we just have this tendency to get lost. You know what I'm saying? We're oftentimes referred to as sheep that are lost. Does anybody know illustrations like that? The shepherd that left the 99 and went and found the lost sheep. Well, that's a reference to us who are lost, and He finds and brings us back to that. I know most of you have got it all so close together with the Lord that you never think of yourself as a lost sheep. But for me, being real frank with you and real honest, I've served the Lord a long, long time, but every once in a while I feel lost. And every once in a while I need the shepherd to come and find me. Wake me up, slap me, get my whatever He's got to do. But once in a while, I give God permission, I ask Him, I pray, God, do that for me, because I never want to be found slumbering or asleep when God visits my home or my church. I want to be alive, awake, attentive, so that when the Lord visits us, He will do so in such a powerful way that I am ready to receive what God wants to do. Did you know God does mighty things in the midst of His people? Did you know He visits His people periodically? In fact, I'm going to be honest with you. Whether you realize this or not, God intends, if He hasn't already done that, and even if He has, He will do it again, intends to visit you, intends to slip into your life in a way that you cannot deny. This is God's presence. That you cannot deny that I am now standing in the midst of God's visitation for me. I think God is such a loving, personal, detailed God that He intends not only to just visit you, not in a passive way, but He wants to visit you in such a way that you are impacted and never the same after He visits you. Does that make sense to you? And so I think that Zechariah is a very awesome book because not only because of all the details of this, but some of the background of this will help you to understand what I think God may be doing in your life, because the visitation is coming. The hour is coming when God is going to visit you. If you've been a Christian very long, He probably already has done some great things in visitation, but there's coming a day when God wants to do a mighty work, and you need to be prepared and ready for that. I think that's what God is doing. Let me give you a little background to this story. Zechariah is an interesting guy. His name is interesting. You know, in the Old Testament, they used to name people after what they kind of prayed as a blessing in that person's life. Now, my name is Gary Dean Connor. There's not a great deal of great blessing in that name, unless you refer to Dean Martin, Dean Gary Connor. There might be a little coolness involved in that, but it's not anybody's intention to name me what they named me so that my life later on would reflect that. But in the Old Testament, they would name their children either bless them or sometimes even a curse. Their name was a cursive type of name. And either way, the blessing that the patriarch placed on that child when he named them, many times is exactly what was played out in that person's life. And Zechariah's name means Jehovah, God, Yahweh, God remembers. Do you realize what was going on in Zechariah's time? Zechariah was a contemporary prophet, a minor prophet, albeit, during the time of another minor prophet called Haggai. And both of them were living during the time of the return of the children of Israel back to the promised land. Now, I don't think that we can identify fully with that. We've never been captive and had to come back to our land and rebuild or anything like that. But you've got to understand what was happening. There's generations that were in captivity. They called upon their God. They had no great joy in their relationship with the Lord and in their worship of the Lord, because they knew the Lord was punishing them or allowing things to happen, this captivity to them, because they were unfaithful to Him. I want you to understand something. It's a little bit different in our day. God is a little more intense in keeping up with this faithfulness business. If you're not faithful to God, it's not the consequences of that aren't years and years down the road. Consequences nowadays happen a little more quickly. You're unfaithful to God, God just lets you have your way and lets it happen to you. You understand what I'm saying? But in the Old Testament, it was a little bit different. God allowed them to be taken into captivity. They lived there. Their culture was there amongst the Babylonians and so forth. And they were influenced by that, but they never lost their hunger for Zion. The Jerusalem, the daughter of Zion. That's a term that refers to God's chosen people and loved people. And Jerusalem is the capital of where God's presence is. And the temple is built there. And so there's the great geological impact and a great cultural impact because of their love for this great city. And so many things happen spiritually in that city. And so Zechariah was one of the many people that returned from Babylon back to Jerusalem, back to Israel, and were rebuilding. And they were Haggai and Zechariah were both ministering. At the time, they were trying to get the people to rebuild the temple. Now, we know the rebuilding of the temple was never in the glory of what the original temple was, but they needed a focus. Because just like you do, why do you come to church? Do you come to church because we have just great band, or we have great ministers speak, or we have great ministry going on? Or do you come to step into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and allow Him to minister right into your life? I think that's why we really come. If you have any other motive from coming to church, I come to church to fellowship with God's people because they're a blessing to me. And I'm enriched and I'm blessed when I get to shake hands and see how things have been going all week long. And I get just get inspired by some of the things that God's been doing in your life. And it is really an encouragement. So I come for that, yes. But I come mainly to step into worship and to step out into the presence of God and let my spirit just communicate to the Lord how much I love Him and open up to receive the Lord speaking back to me and telling me just how precious and wonderful He thinks I am and how much He loves me. Now, when He says that and speaks that to me, I always do like you do. I think, oh Lord, but I didn't pray enough this week. And oh Lord, I didn't go out on my knees and crawl and show a great sacrifice to get to church this morning. I drove a big automobile that brought me here. It was pretty convenient. I didn't walk on my knees from my house to the church to show my commitment and dedication. Lord, I'm just not worthy of this. But I am made worthy to receive the blessing of the Lord because I love Jesus Christ. And so I am declared worthy to receive His blessings because He's working in my life to make me ready to receive what He wants to put in my life. Now, if you're not interested in what God wants to put in your life, I understand that. That's fine. That's your free will choice. You choose that if you want to. But if you're coming to the house of God just to be entertained, forget it. It don't happen here. Although we've got great talented people, they can entertain you. This is not a place of entertainment. This is a place of encounter. This is a place of adventure. This is a place where we should be meeting God. Fellowshipping with God's people. Learning how to walk in harmony with the people you're going to spend eternity with. Of course, my house is going to be down by the river. I don't know where yours is going to be, but I'm going to be down by the river. So Zechariah, it's an interesting thing. The Zechariah covers a whole full plan of what God is going to do throughout history. From this point, he's kind of looking back, and he's kind of looking ahead, and he gives a full story and a full gamut of what God is going to do for the people of Israel. Now, that means something for us, because what He did for Israel, the blessings of that are now transferred to you and I. Because we're adopted into the family of God, all those blessings that God intends for His chosen people are ours because now we're His chosen people also. Amen. Through Jesus Christ, He chooses us. And now we're grafted in and we're adopted into the family of God. And so all the blessings, and so Zechariah talks about the first coming of Jesus Christ. He talks about that He's going to be human and yet God with us. He's going to be like Emmanuel. He's going to be rejected and He's going to be betrayed. He's going to be crucified. All these things are in this little book. He talks also about His future coming in glory and His reign over the earth. He talks about the eternal peace and prosperity that His kingdom is going to bring to us. This little book talks about the whole thing. And yet the first thing He has to do is call the people to repentance. Here's a people who possess the promise. They possess the promise promise of the coming Messiah, and that God will restore, that he will return them, and he did. Zechariah and Haggai and the others are proof that he is restoring Israel. He brought them back. Did you know he's doing that same thing today? Restoring Israel. There are people from all over this planet that are going back home. God remembers, and he visits us. You know, there are times I think God has forgotten me. Have you ever been there?
Yes.
God, where are you? I'm in the midst of distress. I need a deliverance. I need help. I need you to touch my heart and my life. I know I'm too cool for you, God, but I really do need you. Well, God, maybe I touched someone's heart there. I don't know. God remembers. I want God to remember me and visit me. I want a renewal of that power. I want to experience again in a new and deeper way many of the things that I've experienced in the past, but I want new, fresh move of God in my life. I want him to remember, and I want to remember, but I want him to remember me.
Amen.
And visit me. Am I making any sense this morning? And so here's the interesting thing that he had to do. God has always wanted to have a direct a direct line to your heart and to your life. And those of us that, of course, were entered into relationship, he knows we have a tendency to become indifferent. Israel was indifferent. At the time Zechariah and all the people made it back from Babylon, the people of Israel that were already there were indifferent. Oh, they knew they had the promises. They knew that they had God as their God and so forth, but they had become accustomed to living like the rest of the world around them. And they were indifferent as to whether God would bless them or not. I hope we never get in that position where we're indifferent, whether God moves or doesn't move, touches my life or doesn't touch my life. I hope we never become indifferent. You know how Jesus said it, don't you?
Yeah.
He said, hey, I'd rather you be hot or cold. By all means, don't be lukewarm. Have you ever walked to the kitchen, you know, you got busy, poured you up a cup of coffee, and you got busy over here, and you went over here, and you grabbed a cup of coffee after a while, and you took that sip, and it was lukewarm, and you wanted to spit it out? Okay, there's some of us that know what I'm talking about. Those of you that don't want to ask your neighbor, they'll help you with that. That's what Jesus is talking about, is having a hot cup of coffee, and when you go to drink, because you're anticipating that hot coffee, and as you stick it to your mouth, it's lukewarm, you just want to spit it all over the kitchen, but you know your wife would get mad at you. Amen? Indifference. Israel was indifferent. They didn't care if the temple was built, foundations already laid, we don't care if the temple gets, we don't care if the house of God gets built, because that's where, you know, God is going to dwell, we'll go and meet with God. We don't care about that. We just want our lives to just not have any waves. We just want to do what we're doing and be cool in our own coolness. And so the first thing Zechariah does when God lays, and this is the cool thing about Zechariah, he was not only a prophet, but he was a priest. There's nothing that disturbs a minister more. Now, it don't bother me if we're having church and you've got to get up and go use the boys' room or get a drink of water and all that kind of stuff, which you should have thought about before church started, but it don't bother me. Now, a lot of preachers would actually embarrass you if you got up in the middle of their sermon and they would just say, Grubinoff, what are you doing? And they would embarrass the fire. But that kind of thing doesn't bother me. But what bothers me and what hurts a minister and a priest especially, or any minister, is that when they minister, there are fewer and fewer people dedicated enough to the ministry to be ministered to. He was going to minister in the house of God and nobody was coming. They were indifferent. Oh, it's okay if you miss a Sunday or two. No. No, it's not. It's not if you just slept in. No, it's not. If you're on vacation, those kinds of things, we understand all that. I understand that. But God does not understand he's sleeping in. Well, that preacher is getting harder and harder. He doesn't understand that. God does not understand that. You can do it and get away with it and not get turned into a fried crispy. I understand that. But you're going to miss out on what God had for you that day. Hey, if you don't want to listen to my sermon, that's fine. I understand that there's lots of guys on the internet that are far better preachers than I'll ever be, but I'm going to tell you something. You're going to miss what God's doing in the midst of this church. And that's what was happening. He was going, preparing the sacrifices for the people. And when he came out to minister to the people, and he comes from a whole long lineage of priests. And he goes to minister, and there's nobody there to minister to. So what's the first thing he does when he comes back? He calls them to repentance. Repentance. There's an interesting principle in the scripture. God never calls his own people to repentance unless he has detected indifference or sloth or no longer having a loving relationship. We're called as God's people to repent because we have drifted away. We have become uncaring, uncompassionate toward other people or the house of God or the presence of God. Not even entertained with the thought that I want God to touch my life. But then when trouble happens, oh, I want to know God then. I want God to be on the spot right now and get me out of this trouble. You know how I know that? Because that's what I do. I'm no different than anybody else. I do the same. I'm just as crazy and realize, man, you know, sometimes, you know, I should have called on God before I bought this Ford truck. I should have spent some time, praying and talking to God before I ever signed that contract. I thought I knew what I wanted. I got talked into something else. I got mad about that. I took it back to them. They weren't going to take it back, but they took it back. If I would have just trusted God and prayed and talked to God, I wouldn't have had to spend two nights in. Have you ever done that? Two nights in torment before God because God's letting you know, hey, I wasn't in this. You were in this and tried to get me. I ain't ever going to step inside a Ford dealership. That's what God's trying to say. I'm not going there. But I went in there and I signed on the line and I had to go back two nights. I tossed and I turned. My wife slept soundly. I wanted to just slap her. I'm tossing it. You get sweaty. Your sheets are tied around you. Have you ever been there? You can't move. You kick. You throw them off. You get cooled down. Get too cold. You put them back up. Start sweating and kicking and talking. Sleep for a couple minutes. Wake up. What am I going to do? Oh, God. I don't want this stuff. That's the one I wanted. They talked me of that. I shouldn't be able to do. And for 2 days, so I finally just got enough courage to go up and take it back to them and just refused to take it. The smartest thing I did is what my wife said to do, and that's cancel the check. I did that. That's a smart move. I'm not encouraging you to do this kind of business, but I'm just trying to help you avoid those nights of sleeping in the sweaty sheets. If I had called on God and listened to God and saw him first, I would have understood what Zechariah was talking about. These people were indifferent. They started the church, and they never finished it. So he's crying out, repent. You've got to get close to God. You've got to turn your life back around. You've got to get a hold of God. Sometimes our indifference is a creation of our own activity, our own thinking. God didn't move here. He'll never answer my prayers. And so because he didn't do this, I'm just not going to trust him anymore. We do things like that. Sometimes God doesn't bless us, doesn't move in our lives, doesn't make himself real powerful in our lives because we sin. Now I'm going to give you a little bit of advice here. If you're going through a tough time right now, you should do three things. You should ask yourself, first of all, and examine your heart. If you're in the midst of a tough time, and you are just wondering where God, if you're in the sheets, sweating like I did, the first thing you should ask is, have I sinned? But when trouble comes, the first question you should ask is, have I sinned? Because our sin will bring God's discipline. God don't always like to punish, but he does like to discipline us. If you want to stay one of his kids, he wants to discipline you. And so the first thing you should ask God, is this trouble on me because I've sinned and you brought it upon me because, or allowed it to come upon me either way because I have sinned. Now, if you have not sinned, then that's okay. You got that taken care of. I find that very interesting because a lot of times we do that. Why has this trouble come upon me? What have I done? Where is God? Well, stop. First of all, think, have I sinned and brought this upon myself? The second thing you should ask is, am I indifferent? Do I really care about God and his ministry and his kingdom? Do I really care about God? And if you care about God, well, then indifference isn't an issue either, is it? The third thing you should ask God, am I committed? Where you've called me to do something, am I committed to that? And am I seeing it through to the end? Am I completing that? If that's not an issue, that's not a problem, then life is just throwing something at you. That's what it is. Something thrown. So the next time trouble, or if you're in the middle of trouble, examine those three things. Am I sinned? Am I indifferent? Or am I committed? Has God called me to do something and I am hiding out and going to be swallowed by a big fish shortly? Hello? That's in the Old Testament too. I like playing with your mind. It's like juggling hands. So if life is just throwing something at you, what God is telling you is buck up and endure, and I'll get you through this. I want to show you how powerful. That's what's happening. So if you're in trouble and going through difficult times, think about that. And I know you will, because this is almost a natural response to trouble that comes in your life. Oh God, where are you? We're glad you're here. Amen? I think God is doing all those things in our lives. As confusing as something. Have you been through difficulties or even through? I think it happens even through blessings. I get blessed sometimes. Are you still with me? I get blessed sometimes, and I don't know where in the world that came from. Because, you know, we as Christians tend to think action, reaction. You know, we tend to think, well, if I do something good, God will bless me. And that's really not what it's all about. It very seldom works that way. I think sometimes if we sin, then the consequences come. You know, you can't tell me. But I think sometimes in the good times, we've got to realize God blesses us simply because He loves us. Sometimes He'll do a wonderful blessing in our lives, and we haven't done a thing to deserve it, but He just pours that all on you. You know why? He loves your hide. Why He loves your hide, I don't know. But He loves you so much that every once in a while, He'll just pour out a blessing on your life. So it's not always when you're in trouble. A lot of times God does awesome things and good things. Things are going well. There's nothing wrong for things to go well in your life, is it? It's kind of nice, isn't it, when things are going well? And, you know, you're not all upside down and everything seems to be God blessing you. That's an awesome thing too, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. And God works both of those ways. And so I think what the effort is to teach you that you need to depend on Him, trust in Him, and allow Him, open up to Him, and allow Him to do the work in your life that He wants to do. Every person is different. We may be all doing the same thing, but God is going to move in our life differently because you are so unique. He has to approach your life from the position of your uniqueness. Are you still with me? That's why He blesses you sometimes, because you are the only you there is. And He likes blessing you just because He likes you. A little weird you might be, but anyway, He loves you. But are we really ready for the visitation? What Zechariah and Haggai and others are trying to do at this time is get the people of God ready for the visitation. Because if they ever, by God's help, get the temple built, and worship begins in the temple, and the power of God, the Shekinah glory of God, drops down into the temple, is there going to be anybody holy enough to step into the temple to worship God? And so what God wants to do is get all His people ready for the blessing and the visitation He has planned for us. Yeah. Been here a long time. And I've heard prophecies from the very beginning of this church's existence, when we chartered, until now. I've heard prophecies about this church, God wanting to do great things, God wanting to do this. And I'm going to be honest with you, before God can do anything, He has to shake us up a bit. Because just by being human, we have edges that need to be shaved off of us. Just because we're people. So God wants to prepare us for His presence. For His visitation. Okay, that doesn't mean God gets ready to visit us. God's already ready. But we need to be ready to receive that. I know that there are life issues that are going on in your life that don't appear to have anything to do with church and God and this spirit thing and all of that. But if you've given your heart to Jesus Christ, everything in your life has to do with God. Everything. Indifferent or not, excited or not, dedicated or not, committed or not, doing something or not. It has everything to do with God and how he wants to bless and work in your life. And he really does not like it that you call upon him only when you're in trouble. If you, those of you that are parents, or you know what parents are and that kind of relationship, do you like it when all your kids call home for money?
Absolutely not.
Amen. I know that would hit a chord for somebody. You'd like them to just call up and say, hey, I don't need nothing, Dad, you know, I just need to hear your voice. Wouldn't that be awesome, or mom? They're not always wanting something. Well, God's the same way, isn't he, our Heavenly Father? I think God would say the same thing, you know, I never call home until I need something. God pours things on us every day. Your very breath is a great blessing. Well, sometimes if it's surgical. You know what I mean? So he wants that relationship. God forbid that he has to rebuke us and call us to repentance. Wouldn't it be awesome if we were just ready at all times? God wants to. Here's what he was doing for Israel during the ministry. And you need to agree with this, that all the prophecies refer to cool things. You can actually relate your spiritual walk to them. It's prophecy about coming in tribes and how God wants to bless his people. If you just put your name in there where God is blessing Zion or God's people, you would see just what God is really doing in your life. Really is doing in your life. No good thing comes without some opposition or distress or trouble. You know why? You wouldn't appreciate it. You'd be just like that little kid that calls home for money and you keep spending money and wondering why he's a brat and never calls you just to tell you he loves him. God wants to dwell. This is the theme of this book. Get the people ready, get their hearts right, get them ready. Because God wants to dwell with his people. He wants to restore Zion, restore his people. He wants his people to be pure, so he wants to purify them himself. He wants to renew the covenant with them, the promise with them. He wants to renew the benefits and the blessings with them. He wants to rebuild worship. You know, every once in a while, more regularly than not, I'm going to confess to you, every once in a while, we stumble. I got him the other night. We were having the spring program, and you know, I can't be reserved, you know. And I think everybody will suck the air out of this room. I come walking up here to begin the program, and so I make one of those pratfalls, those Chevy Chase kind of thing. So I stumble as I went up there, like I was about to fall down because I'm an old man. And I look around, I can see the eyes. Did he do that on purpose or what? Stupid old guy almost fell down right in front of him. I just cannot be older than 14 sometimes. I can't do it. Every once in a while we stumble like that into real worship. And I just felt the Spirit. Every once in a while, more often than we realize, we stumble into real worship. When the music begins and our minds focus, we pay attention to what's not only what we're singing and the truth of what we're singing, but we pay attention to what the Spirit is saying to our spirits. Everybody's going to respond differently. Everybody's going to react to that differently. Some come with a need to come up for prayer. Some come just to stand there and worship. If you notice that even this morning, that even happened. Just to stand up here. I don't care who's around me. Doesn't make any difference. I just want to stand in the presence of God. Let my worship just be between me and him while everybody corporately is creating an atmosphere for God's Spirit to move. Lord, we pray in the beginning. Before we start service, we pray, God, move with your presence, with your power. On Fridays, men are gathering in this church to pray for God's Spirit to move on Sunday. Move on the pastor. Let the pastor hear from God so the word of the Lord will come forth and he will speak directly to me through the pastor's mouth. He will be speaking to my heart. And we'll stumble right into the presence of God and suddenly We're in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Our God, our great God, we can see you with our spirit, and we know you in our heart. And my life will never be the same because I have touched the hem of your garment. Once in a while, don't you know that's what God is preparing? That he can step down into our presence. Right here in this corporate group. And our God is here.
Amen.
And he's here for a reason.
Yeah.
I don't think God visits for no reason. I think he visits to enjoy our praise, to enjoy our worship, our camaraderie, our fellowship. Before we started praying, Pete said, I thought this was a cool thing. While we stood there just before service, if you noticed the weird bunch of guys that gathered up here for prayer, what we pray for is for me and for the service and all that, kind of an extension of what happens here on Fridays. And we're praying, and he said, we stood there for a second before we prayed, and he said, just listen. And you can hear people chattering and talking and welcoming each other and shaking each other's hands and the fellowship going on. And I don't have a problem with that. I think that's awesome when God's people love each other enough to just welcome each other and have some fellowship and camaraderie and oneness getting together and I got a little problem going on, but I'm not going to let it bother me because I'm wanting to get into the presence of God with my brothers and sisters. It's so good to be there with you. You know how awesome that is? Try missing church a few times. Then come back. It's like you've never been here. I needed this. I know, honestly, there are times you can't make it to service for various reasons. But boy, when you miss a service and you come back, you realize that I missed something. It's so good to be here. It's just so rich in my heart to fellowship with the best church in the world. That's the way I feel. And so what God's intent was through Zechariah was to speak to you and I today by letting us know he's got the plan.
Yes, he
has a time when he wants to visit us. And that visitation leaves you never the same. I prayed for 18 years, my wife and I, for God to touch my oldest son. Before he was ever born, I hope you're adult enough here to take what I'm about to say. I laid hands on that bubble. And I prayed, God, make this young man, or whatever, I didn't know what it was, because I don't like to know. Bless my child. Make my child a dedicated follower of you. We give this child to you before it's ever born. We commit this child to you, to whatever you want to do with their lives. Thank you for the privilege of loaning us this child. But we give him back to you before he's ever born. Because we want him to minister for you, to be what you want him to be, not what we want him to be. And after his time of rebellion and stuff we went through in the family and the upheaval that came from all of that and the broken relationship that was there and the lack of communication and the lack of sharing our love for our oldest son. 18 years later, God answered my prayer. And I haven't got time to tell you the whole thing, but suffice it to say that God visited the Connor family again. You need to realize that your family and you are the heritage of God's work throughout your lineage. That's why lineage is so important to so many people. Zechariah came from a long line of priests who knew what it was to stand in the presence of God on behalf of the people so that as he ministered to God, God would show kindness and compassion and mercy upon his people. He knew what it was to stand in the gap and get himself prepared to be a vessel used by God to touch his people,
yeah.
to pass his word to his people. God has not forgotten your family. Some of your family may have taken the wrong road. They may have slipped off in a different direction. And I don't know, I can't make the blanketing statement that God is going to save everyone of your children. I don't know that. I don't have the mind of God. But I do know that God is telling you this morning, whether it be through you, one of your family members, God is visiting his people to ready them, not only for the last hour's work, simulcast, anyway, we'll use any method we can to get the gospel out, to win this, help other people find Christ, introduce them to Jesus any way we can. Not only for that, that is coming, that great thing that we do to keep each other strong and united and just keep our mission alive to reach out and so forth. But that visitation is coming to get your lineage ready.
Yes.
Part of your lineage may have been in captivity. Those of you that have been praying for your loved ones, Vera's a good example. She said several testimonies of her family members that have come to Jesus Christ, sometimes just before they die, coming to Jesus Christ. Others of you know what I'm talking about. Have you noticed that there's been some interesting spiritual things happening in your family? People in your family that are starting to talk about God that have never talked about God, didn't want you to talk about, don't want to have nothing to do with God, are suddenly becoming interested. Oh, it's the economy. Oh, it's the downfall of America. Oh, it's the end of freedom. It's communism or whatever. Whatever is happening in their lives that brings them. Sometimes it takes tragedy to bring people to Jesus Christ. Remember 9/11? We as a people united. We didn't care if you're a Democrat, Independent, or Republican. We didn't care if he's a communist. We were a people again. We had a focus. We united because someone had attacked us again. We were one people. Well, it didn't take long for people to, once the world didn't end on the next Sunday, when the churches were full. People seeking God, this is the end of the world, Jesus is coming back. Oh no. They filled the churches. 2 weeks later they were gone because it didn't happen instantly. But for a moment we were one. Then they started fragmenting us again. Jesus is going to visit your family, your lineage, your people. God is going to visit your people to restore worship, to restore the promises, to restore his presence in your lineage. I don't know how far back in your lineage the first Christian was, I don't know. And I'll guarantee you that first Christian prayed that all of his children and his children's children, as many as may ever live before Christ comes back, would all serve you. I'm sure they prayed that prayer.
Amen.
God does not forget that prayer. He makes covenants with people. He makes promises to people. Am I clear? God is faithful to that promise. You may have forgotten it. Your ancestors may be gone. But I believe God is going to visit your people again. To ready them not only for the things that that he has to do before Jesus comes, but to ready us for the trumpet sound, the shout, presence of Jesus in the clouds of glory.
Amen.
Are you ready for that? Has he visited you? Is he visiting you now? As Zechariah preached, and Zechariah prophesied, I'm prophesying to you today. If you'll remain faithful to God, God will visit your people, your family, your lineage again. And restore unto your lineage the promises that God has made to your people.
Amen.
We are a people now. God is readying us for his visitation. leave you with this last word as I close. It's an interesting thing about God. He loves us, he'll do anything for us, but he is God and refuses to be less than God. And so, God is faithful to the faithful.
Amen.
He is loving to the loving.
Amen.
He is compassionate to the compassionate. He is merciful to those who show mercy.
Hallelujah.
If that does not describe a Christian relationship, I don't know what that is. What do you need from God today? I'd like you to stand with me. You need just a new visitation. You need God to just come down in a special way and touch your family again. Is God speaking to your lineage, to your people, by speaking to you today? I believe you can do much in prayer that sets in motion God's power and blessing in your family and in you. I'm not a fanatic on the blessings and cursings of your lineage. I know that has a lot of effect there. I don't get too fanatical about that, because I believe once a person accepts Jesus Christ, it breaks those curses.
Amen.
But I have loved ones that have not done what my son did and gave his heart to Jesus Christ. And by the way, he's now ministering for God in his own way, passing out Bibles, going in places. He's got more boldness than I ever had, and I thought I was as bold as they come. I think with age and sophistication, fear strikes you, you know. My prayer in the beginning of this message was that God would instill confidence in you to pray for your family once again.
Amen.
And anticipate God's visiting you one more time. Because eventually, Jesus is coming back. There'll be no more time to get the family ready. So we need to do our part in interceding for our family with the confidence that God is going to fulfill the promises that he has given us. What has he promised you? What has he said to you? What has he spoken to you? What has he called upon you in the middle of the night to assure you that he was alive and well working in your family? God made a promise. That promise is guaranteed. No matter what happens between now and the promise, that promise is going to be fulfilled. I don't know what that means in detail for your family and your life, but I'm so thankful God has been doing it in mine. Oh God, I need a mother to just be deeply born again, and not just on the fringe of the church, taking the crumbs off the table that fall, but to enter into the presence of God and receive the full blessing. I need a sister that would just be more and more committed to Jesus Christ. I've got a brother. I've got several brothers that really need to be delivered from narcotics and other things. I really need God to visit my family, my lineage. Touch my people again. Let them be alive for you. Let them be prepared for your return. Are you praying that prayer with me this morning? I want you to be specific. You know, we do this kind of periodically, not necessarily this morning in this particular way. But how many of you remember that there's lots of names underneath this old garment? I mean, I've seen lists this long, family members. And I've had many of you come to me and say, you don't know this, but this person in my family just got saved. They call and say they just gave their heart to Jesus Christ. And oh, by the way, their name is in the list right there on the pulpit area. I think when we make promises to God and God makes promises to us, he fulfills them. Are you still with me? I want you to be specific this morning. Don't pray general for God to touch your whole family. I don't believe he's doing that. He's giving you a visitation. There may be one that's on your heart in particular. I think that's the Holy Spirit prompting you to pray for that particular person in your family. I want you to respond to the Holy Ghost and pray. Let me pray. And we close with this prayer. I want you to pray for that. that specific person. Will you do that? I just had my cousin come to my mind. He's an older cousin. Father killed early in his life, devastated the whole family, devastated me, I'd never had a close family member die before. It's the first major death, close family member dying that I'd ever had. I was about 10 years old, 10, 11 years old. It threw my older cousin for spinning out. I mean, mentally, it did something to him mentally. From that point on, he could not read. He could write a little bit and so forth, but he couldn't read. So he'd come over to my house after school, because he was out of school, and he would let me teach him how to read. By the way, I taught him phonics. If you want to know my opinion. Sound it out, Ernie, sound it out. Stable. That's spunning. Became an alcoholic. I think the Lord just spoke to me to pray for him. I don't know who you're praying for, but you need to pray. Just that one person, don't take the whole family. God's calling you for a special visitation this morning. I'm going to pray, and I want you to pray with me for that particular person in your life. Father, right now, I'm praying for Randy, because I believe that you want to minister to his life in a powerful way. He knows the gospel. He knows what it is to be saved. He knows what that's all about. It's nothing new to him. He knows all about that. He's been testified to, ministered to many, many times. God, I want him to be in heaven with us. Lord, I pray that you're anointed to follow him right now, this hour, this moment. From this moment on will be the day that he begins to walk with you and walk for you. Remember my family in that way. Remember Ernie today. Touch him. Minister to him. Save him this morning. And I pray for this whole congregation, all the families, trees that are out there. You would touch every branch. You'd minister to every one of our family, our lineages, Lord. Touch them. Fulfill the promises that you've made to your people in those lineages. And may we today just walk away with the confidence that you have remembered us. Zechariah, Jehovah remembers. Remember us today, Lord. We ask him in Jesus' name. Will you raise your hand and just thank the Lord this morning, just for his goodness? Lord, we love you. We thank you. You are so good. You are so mighty and so glorious. And we bless you. We bless your name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Amen. And amen.
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.